cooperation between the university presses of Oxford and Cambridge is perhaps more rare than bipartisanship in Congress. But in 1961, the two presses jointly published an entirely new translation of the Bible, appropriately called the New English Bible. I've always loved its rendering of Jesus' famous Beatitudes. Listen to what happens to the opening, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." In the NEB we hear, "How blessed are those who know their need of God. The kingdom of heaven is theirs." And just so, a deep truth about our lives and our world is set before us. God created us for mutuality, for forms of mutuality that are not ashamed to identify and express need. We need each other. We need God. Both statements are at the core of what it means to be human. God also created us to be needed by others, by God. This too is inextricably a part of what it means to be human. Women and men who act as though they need no one else, who act as though no one else needs them, are living estranged lives. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the dominion of heaven. In this beatitude and in the others that follow, Jesus invites us to move past the estrangements that isolate us by giving us permission to be fully human again. Charles Harold Dodd, C.H. Dodd, led the team that translated the New Testament for the New English Bible Project. In the late 1960s, BBC Radio engaged old C.H. in a long, rambling interview about his scholarly career. He was asked specifically about the Beatitudes because so many in the English church were offended by the NEB's radical departure from the familiar words of Matthew chapter 5. So, Dodd told this story. He was working on Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount, thinking about this expression, "the poor in spirit." What does it mean? What does it mean to be poor in spirit? And at one point in his musings and study, Dodd looked up from his books and his eyes fell upon a photo on his desk, a photo of his wife and their daughter when their daughter was an infant. And it hit him. It hit him. His daughter was breastfed. His daughter was breastfed at that point in her life when the photograph had been taken. Every ounce of her nutrition, all the stuff she needed to live and grow, came from her mother's body. Every ounce. And despite the conventions of society, his daughter was never ashamed of her need. When she was hungry, she cried loudly and insistently. And Dodd remembered something else. He remembered that nursing was a two-way street, a deep and simple mutuality of need. If for some reason mother and baby went too long between feedings, his wife's breasts so filled with milk that they actually hurt, She needed to feed their daughter just as much as she needed to be fed. This shared need, expressed without shame, without careful definition, this dot thought. This dot thought is at the heart of what Jesus means by the expression, the poor in spirit. How blessed are those who know their need. Micah reminds us that for we who have so much, it's very dangerous to focus on the word need. We who have so much in a world so distorted by inequity, it's easy for us to distort the meaning of that word by focusing only on our own need. But that focus is necessary. One symptom of the reality of sin and estrangement is the ease with which we grow out of the capacity to recognize our needs, differentiate them from our wants, and express those needs to those who can meet them. So many of us in this community move in circles in which ambitions are achieved at the expense of meeting basic needs. Needs are viewed as weaknesses to be carefully hidden away, especially from others, especially from ourselves. Hidden needs, forgotten needs, unmet needs do not go away. They come back to haunt us and shape our lives in strange, estranged ways. Those who learn to hide their needs away until some later time in life can forget what it means to be human. The poor in spirit are those who know their need of God and are unashamed. Just as a nursing infant is dependent on her mother for life itself, so are we all dependent upon God for life, for our next breath. The God we know in Christ always bestows generously the gifts of life through means, through people, through other creatures. The star around which our planet spins gives us warmth and light. Through our friends, the trees, God silently yet constantly blesses us with oxygen, without which we cannot live. Through creatures like wheat and, yes, broccoli, God nourishes our bodies. Through bread and wine, God gives us a taste of the cross of Jesus so that we might be nourished by the life of the Trinity. And through the people God has placed around us, God seeks to give us the gift of community, a gift of love which can touch and be touched, without which we cannot live. All this, old C.H. Dodd understood, is comprehended by Jesus' words, the poor in spirit. These are the ones who know their need of God and trust that God shares our need, meets our need through the community of others, through the community of creation. These are the ones who know what to do with their need. Share it. The other eight Beatitudes, indeed the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, merely elaborates this one point. The dominion of heaven is theirs. In his book, Wishful Thinking, Frederick Buechner reflected on God's dominion in our lives by looking at that petition in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Buechner writes, "Insofar as here and there and now and then God's will is being done in various odd ways among us, even at this moment, the kingdom has come already. Insofar as all the odd ways we do God's will at this moment are at best half-baked and half-hearted, the kingdom is still a long ways off. As a poet, Jesus is maybe at his best in describing the feeling you get when you glimpse the kingdom itself. It's like finding something you hated to lose and thought you'd never find again. An old keepsake, a stray sheep, a missing child. When the kingdom really comes, it's as if the thing you lost and thought you'd never find again is you and your neighbor." It's a blessed coincidence that we hear the Beatitudes on the day of our annual meeting, for this meeting presents us with an opportunity to act as a community on Jesus' word. We're invited today to listen to one another, to make decisions as people who know our utter dependence on God, who want to trust God to meet the needs of this community and use us to meet the needs of each other and others beyond us. The only guarantee we have that God will provide for us remains Jesus' word. And for speaking that word, we of course know he was crucified. Can we trust such a word from such a teacher? God has assured us we can by raising the teacher of the Sermon on the Mount from the grave, vindicating both teacher and what was taught. Friends, may God's dominion be glimpsed in our decisions, and may we be among those poor in spirit whom the risen one calls blessed. In Christ's name, amen.